is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
We're going to go ahead and take our next caller, who is Art on line 9. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to add to what Jerry was saying with the mesquite. He's absolutely right. The mesquite is a wonderful tree. But there's this thing called, I believe it's called the catkins. Now, what this is the pollen cluster. It's what happens before the actual bean of the mesquite begins to form. It's the pollen cluster. And that is edible. You just pull it off, pop the whole thing right in your mouth, and you're good to go. However, if you pull too many of them, you're not going to get any of the beans. And the beans are really good when they're first beginning to form, when they're very young, small, young, very flexible. You can eat them raw. Or you let them mature, and when they're all good and dried out, you grind them up and you add them to your flour like an equal 1 cup to 1 cup, and now you have 2 cups of flour. It's the same thing as with acorns, and same thing with other things that you can do, the same thing as a flour extender. But as far as eat the greens or eat the weeds, that's a wonderful website. In my yard, I have plantain, both the broadleaf and the narrowleaf, dandelions, I have lamb's quarters, I have a wild spinach, and I have what's called the chuck cherry or the ground cherry. Looks very much like a tomatillo. All of these are edible. All of these are weeds, and all of them are edible, and you can find the plantain, for example, in almost any yard anywhere in the Southeast. I don't know about other parts of the country because I don't live in other parts of the country. I live in the Southeast. But anywhere in the Southeast, in your yard, if you let it grow, you can find dandelions and the plantain in almost any yard. Now, these taste, the plantain and the lamb's quarter taste virtually like spinach. Now, the plantain is a little bit stronger flavor. But you can eat it raw, or you can cook it, just like you would turnip greens or spinach or anything like that. The lamb's quarter, you eat that raw in a salad. If you've got wild spinach, it's pretty obvious. It looks like spinach. Grows up big, huge, monster plants. You can eat that raw, cook it like spinach, whatever. These grow right in your yard. People would be amazed what grows in their yard that is edible. It's amazing if they would just learn these things. And here's the thing. If you have lamb's quarters growing and plantain growing and wild spinach and lamb's quarters, you'll never have to buy another green ever in your life. You won't have to plant any greens either. That eliminates the need to ever plant mustards or collards or anything like that because you've got it. And
well, wait a minute. Are you saying that I don't have to buy Weed Be Gone anymore?
No, you don't need to buy that. but people would be amazed.
If I can interject one thought regarding plantain, it grows flat. It's a very flat-looking thing, not like lamb's quarters, which is kind of tall and narrow. But this stuff is a slang name, white man's foot. They claimed, Native Americans didn't necessarily just keep walking in the same place all the time, but white people, they keep walking places until there's a path, and then, lo and behold, what happens? Plantain grows there. We were on an outing one time, and I was, chaperoning a bunch of little school kids. Teachers and I were walking around, and I said to one of the gals, "So how's it going today?" And she said, "I have a terrible sore throat." And so I pulled out. We were out in the middle of nowhere near the cars. So I pulled up a couple of plantain leaves, rolled them up, and when she wasn't looking, I bit it 6 or 10 times to break it up. And I said, take this and stick it over in your cheek and see what happens. And about 30 minutes later, another teacher comes up, and she looks at this gal, and she's got this, you know, chaw over there. And she says, what's going on with your mouth? And she said, oh, I got a mouth full of weeds. And she says, what? And she says, yeah, I have a sore throat. I have a sore throat, and Rick gave me this junk to put over here. And she says, what's it taste like? And she says, it tastes green. She goes, is it working? She said, well, my sore throat's gone. So there are more things on heaven and earth ratio than you would imagine.
Yeah, and this is what people don't understand. You know, when the divine creator assembled this wonderful puzzle we call Earth, he provided everything that we could ever need. He provided such an abundance of food that there should never be a reason to ever have to plant a garden. What I do when I cut up a bell pepper, I just take the seeds and I walk out. I find a random spot somewhere over the edge of the yard, and I just throw the seeds down and I walk away. If something grows, it grows. If it don't, oh well, you know. And this is how I end up. I've got a whole fence line of squash and cucumbers because I just walk over and I throw my seeds down.
And you want to hear a funny story about those seeds? Had some people over one time. My wife is talking to this gal. She's deadheading the marigolds that are on the porch, and she goes over to the side of the porch, and she's picking open the flowers and sprinkling it, and the gal goes, what are you doing? She says, oh, I'm just sprinkling these seeds down here, they grow. And she goes, well, where'd you get the seeds? She said, well, out of the flower. And she goes, what? And she says, yeah. And she goes, I didn't know flowers had seeds in them. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you just got to call Burpee. They'll take care of everything. So, you know, it just goes to show you what people don't even know, you know, that God put seeds in stuff. It's just craziness.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's ridiculous. Ori, real quick, tell them the story about the little children you took care of when you worked at that children's home and them not knowing what cows were. To me, every time you tell that, it gets funnier.
Oh, I worked at a boys' home. It's a home where they send the young men who have been in trouble or whatnot, and several of them come from the cities. Now, keep in mind, this is here in Missouri, and I had a few of them that came from, like, St. Louis. And being from St. Louis, they're not used to seeing, I guess, farms. They're used to being inside the city itself. So they weren't sure what the cows were across the fence line next to the boys' home where they were at. And they asked me what it was, and I told them, I said, well, that's a cow. And they asked me what the cow was for. And it just so happened this was a beef cow. So I told them it was a beef cow, and they said, what do you mean beef? And I told them, you know, this is where your hamburger, your steaks, your rump roast and all that come from. And they're like, no, that comes from the store. And I said, well, where do you think the store gets it? And they said, well, from a warehouse. And I said, okay, and where does the warehouse get it from? Well, from another warehouse, you know. They had no idea what the cow was or what it provided as far as food goes, let alone what kind of cow it was. So we kind of had that discussion on what cows give you, what pigs give you, the different kinds of cows there are, you know, that kind
where
of thing.
Where eggs come
and,
from.
Yeah, where eggs come from, you know, and of course, describing where their eggs came from, they weren't too thrilled about that one, but didn't stop them from eating those eggs for breakfast every morning. But it's just amazing, you know, it's just amazing to me how many of the youth nowadays don't know about the farm animals and what exactly it is they provide.
Well, you know, I mean, here in Georgia, we had when we had our governor's race, we had Stacey Abrams making statements like, it's a shame when people have to resort to farm work to make a living. And I'm thinking, lady, where do you think your food comes from? But back to eating wild edibles. One thing I learned, and Jerry's right about watching the bees, but another thing that I learned is if you have the opportunity, and this is something I learned when I was in the Boy Scouts, and then it was reaffirmed when I was in the military. If you have the opportunity to sit and watch rabbits in the wild as they eat, watch what they eat, because the chances are really good that what they're eating,
you can
eat too. So just watch what the rabbit eats.
Right. And, that's a win-win situation, Art. You watch what to eat, and then you get to eat the rabbit too, so.
Yeah. So you get your meat and veggies. I mean, you're good to go. Now all you need is, some milk or whatever, and, you're all good to go. But, yeah, watch, if you ever have a chance to watch rabbits in the wild as they eat, watch what they eat, because you can eat about 97% of what they eat. And the other 3% that they eat, you can't, it's not going to poison you. It's just not going to do you. It'll fill your belly, but it's not going to make you sick or anything. It just isn't going to do
you. You can also watch for the snails if you're in a heavily wooded area.
Yeah.
And the snails are eating some given mushroom. That's an edible one. If there's one they will not touch, you shouldn't be touching it either.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to learn about the wild mushrooms. I mean, I've managed to some logs with the wood ear growing on them, and I created crib stack out here, and now I'm cultivating my own wild mushrooms, the wood ear, right here in my yard. I found a log that was producing the little retro inky, or what's called the red carpet mushroom, and I brought it in, and so now I have those growing out here. And of course, I've learned about the Plutius cervenus, which is the deer or the fawn mushroom. I mean, there's all kinds of mushrooms out there that you can eat. Learn about the mushroom. Because those grow in abundance, and you just have to know what grows where you live. And anyway, guys, and y'all have a great day. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
You too,
I appreciate your call.
Just to remind our listeners, if you go to our website on Facebook, which is Rural Survival, there is a link on there. If you're not sure about different kinds of mushrooms, there is a link on there to show you the kinds of mushrooms that are edible. We also have links for beets. If you're not sure how to cook your beets or need some recipes for beets, there's some on our website there. So if you have Facebook and you can go on Facebook, check it out. We also have some remedies just for home remedies, taking care of those fleas and ticks this time of year, that kind of thing, or ants. So, like I said, I've been trying to put some things on there that are helpful, that you can use things around the house to help you take care of things like the fleas, ticks, ants, and like I said, different ways to cook different things. There's also a link on there that has over 30 summer salads on it in case you would like to mix up your salads this summer and have a variety. So let's see. Hey, guys, we actually have another caller. You want to go ahead and take him?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Joe in Ohio on line 9. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment about what you guys were talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
About the fact that you could watch animals and eat what they're eating. I met a Vietnamese guy about 15 years ago that had escaped after the communists took over, and he was in a prison camp for a while, and he said they tried to kill them by working them to death, starving them, or getting them to escape where they could shoot them. He said, we watched what the birds ate, and that's how we stayed alive.
Makes sense.
That just wanted to make that comment.
Makes sense, Joe. All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, hon. You have a great weekend, Joe.
Well, both Art and Joe are completely right. You know, most animals will not eat anything that's really poisonous to us. They will eat what's repugnant to us, but not poisonous. Don't eat what buzzards eat, folks, please. Throw that little caveat out there. But anyway.
I'm not sure you should eat what the Vietnamese eat either. I've seen some of the things they're up to. and they scare me.
Yeah.
They are scaring me.
Well, not against
just a joke. That's just
know.
A joke, folks. We are not Vietnamese folks here. We have no problem with the Vietnamese, or especially Asian-style foods.
Oh, no, not at all.
Now, speaking of that, I've got a bunch, you know, what didn't work in the garden this year? Well, oddly, my watermelon radishes went to bolt. They went to seed for the first time. I've never seen that. I don't know why. We've been having pretty cool mornings. Shouldn't have done it, but it did. No disparaging. Last year, I promised everybody we would put together some seeds, and we would, if anybody wanted to try them, I'd give them seeds for nothing. It looks like I'm going to have them.
Cool.
I swear, the Lord makes it so that every single thing, every seed I plant produces some sort of thing, even if it isn't what I had in mind. Also, the bok choy. Sure thought I had it because I watched all the instructions from Hollis and Nancy. Thought I had it nailed. It bolted too. So I don't need more bok choy seeds. So I am going to yank that bok choy today or tomorrow. And I'm going to try something. I've got plenty of red Russian kale with which to make pesto. But I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to try a batch of bok choy pesto. I don't know. You know, kale has a slight bitter taste, and I'm thinking that probably makes a better pesto than bok choy. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe if I drop in a couple of basil leaves with the bok choy, you know, we'll see what happens. Rather than just, it's all the flowering tops, so. You know, it'll be fine. It'll be highly nutritious, obviously, but you know, whether or not it's gourmet quality stuff, who really knows? I don't really know. We're going to find out, though, and I will report back to you, because once I cut it, we pretty much got to get moving. Was I interrupting anybody? I was going to talk.
No,
I was
not at
talk.
All.
No, you're
well,
fine.
Here's the deal. I have been using extraordinarily copious amounts of Epsom salts this year. We've got some plants that you give them a dose or two of liquid fertilizer, and they just kind of look at you. It's not really popping. It's not happening for me. So I thought, well, I think I know what's going on here. This soil is in such a condition that even though the food is there, the plant's not taking it up the way I would like. And usually that is a magnesium deficiency, could be a calcium deficiency, but usually magnesium. And so I have been mixing regular Miracle-Gro, not in the case of flowering plants, but Miracle-Gro and or Bloom Booster with equal amounts of Epsom salts, and now I'm getting the kind of bang for my buck that I thought I should have. And I mean, seriously, everybody knows that Miracle-Gro isn't terribly cheap, but Epsom salts is. And so that is really working out for me. Another thing, yesterday, walking around, trying to do my thing, happened to walk by my eggplants, and there are no eggs on them. I happened to notice that they looked awful. And I looked more close and thought, dang, the dang flea beetles are back, and I didn't notice it, and they are tearing my eggplants up. So I went back and I remade the mixture that I kind of semi-invented last year, which is in a spray bottle, a quart spray bottle, about a teaspoon of neem oil or tea tree oil, whichever one you want. And then I'm putting in about a half a teaspoon of the pyrethrin dairy barn spray. I just spray it down in the neck of the bottle, and I just hang on to it for 20 or 30 seconds. I did the math on it again this morning. We will get right back to the math.
Okay, 1-800-313-9443. Folks, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, guys. Rick, you were talking about your gardening. In case somebody missed it while we're talking,
what is it?
There are pictures of Rick's garden on our site on Facebook.
So the gig would be this. Seeing that the flea beetles are once again eradicating my eggplants, and I do love eggplant, I'm using the teardrop-shaped black beauties again. But this year we're trying something a little bit new. There is an Asian eggplant that looks like a cucumber, more or less. It doesn't have the water content of the typical eggplant, and so it's used more often in things like stir-fry, because, you know, water and stir-fry do not go together. That just, no, you know, that's stir slop. We don't want stir slop. So, I made up this spray, and of course, neem oil is not non-toxic to humans. As a matter of fact, it's used in purification ceremonies before Hindu weddings. The bride and groom have to drink the stuff. I guess that's so they get rid of worms. I don't know how this works. It must be very important to somebody. If I love a girl, I don't care if she got worms or not. And so the, but, you know, that's me. But the pyrethrum, which is also a mum based chrysanthemum based bug poison, which is very effective. It paralyzes bugs, doesn't kill them. It paralyzes them on the spot. If you do it this way, the way I'm doing it, you have 1/80,000 of pyrethrum in this quart of spray, which is pretty minimal. But the bugs absolutely cannot stand this stuff. I looked this morning on the eggplant, I found two flea beetles left and both quite dead. So the parrot is a mess. So I will continue on.
Sorry about that. As soon as I could get my mouse to the mute button, I was fixing to hit it. But as you said that, I could hear it too.
Yeah. Also the deer hate this stuff. They have been coming along, dipping the tops off my tomato plants. These are young deer. Older deer probably know better, but young deer, they want to taste everything, and I don't want them tasting anything. So, you know, they're coming along and pruning the tomatoes, and so you spray some of this stuff on there. They do not like the smell of the pyrethrum, and they don't like the smell of neem, which, and by the way, my wife hates that, but that's why I call her deer, sorry. So you put that on. You can put this on just about anything, and it keeps the deer and the bugs off. So, and I remember our experiments last year. This stuff lasts a week to 10 days. So, you know, if I just go around and lightly spritz some of these things about every week or 10 days, I should be good to go. I'm also using it out there on the beans and on the summer squash and stuff like that. I also, for the fun of it, yesterday planted some early Wonder Top beets because my salad is coming in, and which makes, you know, basically no sense because by the time the early Wonder Top beets are up, the salad will be out. But I also had to replant the lettuce because right now the lettuce needs to be harvested. I will harvest the lettuce, top harvest. In other words, I'll cut off the top two-thirds once every 10 days, three times, and that will kill the plant for the most part. And so that's 30 days from now, and if I don't have another crop ready to go, I won't have any lettuce. So you've got to use Clyde's Garden Planner, and you've got to kind of plan your work. So I need to have some lettuce plugs ready by the time I've killed all the lettuce. But what I wanted to do for the next batch is in my salad next, the early Wonder Top beets are not like the old Detroit beet, which produces a real nice red beet. And also I've got the bull's blood beets planted, which is interesting because the beet foliage is dark purple too, so it's kind of a cool looking plant. But if you do eat those greens, it won't be. Never mind. You'll know about it the next morning. You'll know all about it the next morning. You'll think you're dying. It'll be in your urine and elsewhere. Don't call 911. It's just a beet. So the early Wonder Top don't really bulb up as well. But they produce because they're related to Swiss chard, they produce marvelous tops, and they do it very quickly. So I will really just use those to harvest the tops to put in my next batch of lettuce so that I can make a really decent salad mix. The new salad mix I'm using is what's called a mesclun mix. It's not just lettuce. It's got all kinds of little mustards mixed in. That was a very quick segment. We'll finish it up soon.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. When we come back, we're going to talk to Keith in Alabama on line 9, 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. I just want to remind our listeners real quick to please check out the Republic Broadcasting Network, and if you can afford to donate anything every month, please do so. Also remind everybody to check out our page on Facebook, which is Real Survival. And I want to wish all of our listeners and everyone a safe weekend, because I'm getting ready to jump off the air here. Rick and Tim's going to take it the rest of the way. Please remember our servicemen and women and the elderly and the homeless, if you can, help in any way you can in those areas. And until next weekend, I just want to say God bless, and everyone please stay safe. And hello, Keith, you're on the air.
Good morning, Keith.
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning, sir. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I've been listening to your show, and I ain't heard anybody mention anything about the soil that you're growing out of. You know, it's imperative to have healthy soil to get good, healthy plants out of.
Rick, take it away.
You know, crops that are ready for Roundup ready crops, they have to destroy the soil or the organisms in the soil for that crop to grow and heavily fertilize it. if they didn't destroy the organisms in the soil, that plant, that crop would revert back to what nature intended it be.
Did you want to talk about the soil, or are you actually talking about Roundup?
Well, I was just making the comment that the soil's got to be healthy, and the reason Roundup plants thrive the way they do is because they're heavily fertilized and they kill the organisms in the ground, in the soil.
Right.
If they didn't kill the organisms in the ground, in the soil, that the plant, the crop, would revert back to what nature intended it to do.
Well, that isn't quite where the evil plot ends. I mean, after they round up, they round it up. So here's how it works, folks. You drive by a farm field, and they will not have necessarily plowed it yet, but every single thing right up to the fence line, but the grass around the edges will be fine. Everything in that field is dead, dead, dead. Well, how did everything in that field get dead, dead, dead? It's because they just round up the whole field. Well, if you go and you get like an old-style, regular heirloom corn or anything, it's not going to grow because it will also be dead, dead, dead. These are not Roundup crops. So what Keith is talking about are Roundup-ready crops. Essentially, this is going to be a Monsanto, the evil empire invention. And to make matters worse, most of these crops are GMOs, which are known to cause distortions in human DNA, and that combined with the fact that the crop actually takes up the glyphosate, which is what Roundup is, it's glyphosate, takes that up. You get that process, whatever it is, soybeans, corn. Now you're not only eating the GMO, you're eating the glyphosate too. And you wonder why you're insane and sterile and angry. I'll tell you why. You can thank Monsanto and the United States government and the Monsanto Protection Act, which prohibits the identification of Roundup and GMOs on the back label of your food. But Keith, I bet you got more to say.
I do. I hope you don't mind me correcting you on the name of the corporation, because what we call it around here is Monsanto.
Yep, that's what it is. It's a satanic group. They are bad, bad news, man.
But, I can remember some old timers, even my great grandparents were growing crops, just family gardens. And when we were planting, I noticed they were putting seeds in their mouth before they would plant them.
I
didn't know at the time, but I have found out now through some other old timers that what it was is when you put the seed in your mouth, the seed detects the enzymes in your saliva. And it gives the plant an idea of the nutrients that you personally are lacking. And the plant picks it up and adapts to adding extra nutrients that you are lacking in. And I don't know how true that is, but that was one of the ways that it was explained to me, that the plant knew from your saliva that you needed this extra amount of whether it's a mineral or whatever nutrient you were lacking, that the plant would pick it up.
There are certainly some pre-digestive enzymes in saliva. You want to see something horrible, go get some ice cream out of the freezer, take a couple bites out of it with a spoon, and put it back, and watch what happens the next time you open that ice cream. That ice cream will run out on your shoes. Because what happens is your saliva will actually start digesting the ice cream in the freezer, and don't eat ice cream out of the carton, and don't drink orange juice and milk out of the refrigerator and put it back. That's just rude. Furthermore, I could see those enzymes going to work on the seed hull and I could see you really getting a jump start on your germination. I can really picture that.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was explained to me that it would pick up what your body needed, and the plant would, produce extra of that.
I can't add to that. But, I just don't know anything about that one.
But there's another thing, the wheat that we had today is horrible. And besides that, like you think about biblical times, in the Bible where it says wheat is the staff of life. Well, they don't eat wheat the way we eat wheat. When they ate bread, the way they did it was they would sprout the wheat and then dry it out and then crush that up and make their bread out of it. It was not the same. They didn't grind up the seeds.
Right. Yeah, that you can actually still buy sprouted everything. You will pay for that extra process today. You got to go to a health food store to get bread or oats or whatever that have been made from sprouted anything. Now, and here's the thing. I am desperately allergic to wheat, but if it's been sprouted, I'm not. So, Keith, you bring up a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different subject.
Well, that's fair. That was the three topics there that I wanted to touch base on about the soil and the seeds picking up through, I don't know what you would call it, your DNA or whatever in your saliva, that it would tell the plant what you need.
Right.
And then the other one was about the wheat and the bread, bread is all adulterated today,
Oh, yeah, well, and that and GMO. Well, I'll look into the spotted stuff, and maybe I can talk for 5 or 10 minutes in the next week or two about sprouted stuff. That's a good subject. We never thought to bring it up. Well, Keith, thanks a million for the call. I appreciate it.
Now, one more thing. You was I was talking about edible weeds.
Oh, yes.
Now, I got a friend here who can, take anybody in their backyard and point out everything that you think is a weed and tell you how to prepare it. He makes his own tinctures and it's just really wealth of knowledge.
Right. Oh, it's fascinating. I think you should take, young people, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whoever you can lay your hands on, show them this stuff. I think it does open up a whole new world. For people, I think, they stop looking at everything, grass is good, lamb's quarters bad, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think everybody should get a little course in that.
He was telling me, he says, the reason they do these lawn care services is to get rid of the edible and medicines that grow in your yard.
Well, a lot of those things are medicines. That's a fact.
That's right. Anyhow, he's got all the knowledge of how to prep it, dosages, cooking it for food, whatever. He knows.
Sure.
And he's learned from another master about all this, and he was trying to get put together a class. And
most conservation departments do have a class where they'll take, open up and take your order, and then when they get 20 or 30 people, they'll walk you all around some conservation area and show you what's going on. Well, anyway, thank you, Keith. Thanks for calling in. Don't be a stranger. Call again next week, maybe.
All right. Y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you,
Steve. You too, buddy.
Bye.
All right, next we go to Dave in Michigan on line one. Good morning, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Nice. Hey, yeah, good morning. Good show today.
Good morning, sir.
I'm kind of a new listener. I called you a couple weeks ago about the 5G.
Right.
Have you folks ever heard of Senate Document 264?
No.
Okay, so the 34th Congress, second session in 1936, put out a document, Senate document 264. It said that the farmland in America was depleted of minerals, and that document was actually produced somewhere around 1910 or something, right around the time of the Federal Reserve and all that, you know, crazy 432 to 444. A lot of crazy stuff was going on back then. But
Federal
I'm
Reserve
a student.
1913 or whatever it was, yes.
Yeah, right around that time, you know, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. But I'm a student of Dr. Joel Wallach, and he has a book in the Smithsonian Institute. It was the result of a 12-year study that he was a lead pathologist in. Doc says that all vertebrates, all mankind, animals, they all require 90 essential nutrients, 60 of which are minerals. And there's not a plant on the planet that can produce a mineral. And unless you put those minerals in that soil, your plants are not uptaking those minerals. And the GMO plants, you know, they shut down that shikimate pathway, is that's how they uptake minerals. And so, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. You guys are putting out a lot of great stuff. Herbs are medicine. You know, one of our forefathers, I can't remember who, he said, let medicine be thy plants, and, or food, and food be thy medicine.
Yeah, I can't remember that one either.
Doc's got a mineral mine in Utah where it's an ancient ocean that dried up that was teeming with minerals. They say it's millions of years old, and the plants absorbed all those minerals, and now they they use the, you know, the plants have composted over millions of years, and there's a natural limestone cap over that mine. It's over 100 cubic miles, and it's never been touched, you know, in millions of years, hasn't been touched by the atmosphere. And so they have this wonderful humus shale that they get out of there, and it is incredible. I've been using it since 2011. They grow record plants with it. You know, they feed it to livestock. So what it does is when you mineralize the soil, you raise the Brix content of your plants, and bugs don't have a pancreas. So if they take a bite out of your Brix plants, you know, with this teeming of minerals, they die, right? They explode. And so what you're producing is actual food and not bug food, right? It's,
well,
people food.
To that end, well, Dave, to that end, can I suggest this? And and I don't know if everybody can, you know, lay their hands on this material, but there was the whole point of the Mittlider, and this is working right into what you're talking about. The whole point of the Mittlider process, the Mittlider gardening process, which is where you're adding the minerals into the soil yourself, because soil is essentially depleted, you're adding the magnesium, the boron, the calcium, and manganese, and all these things. You're putting them in there yourself, more than 50 of them. So that's in your plant. And what they will tell you, if you folks look up the Mittlider gardening process, there's a young man out of Utah, very interesting guy. He will tell you what Dave just said, is that when you do this, bugs don't like your plants. They just naturally steer clear of them. But we don't make much of it, but, you know, we've mentioned it, this process, any number of times, but, you know, we don't talk about it every show, but for those people who have access or have utilized the Mittlider stuff, you will find that bugs would prefer some other plant other than the ones that you've created. Dave, please continue.
Well, access to Doc's minerals is pretty easy. I've got a website that shows videos and interviews, and we've got an ex-Amish guy that works with Doc. His name is Marvin Ropp, and he's an ex-Navy SEAL.
Yes, ma'am.
He he wrote the foreword in Doc's book. Doc's book is called Prepare, and he calls it the Prepper Survival Bible. But Marvin Ropp is our agricultural expert, and he works with these minerals, and they have a liquid form of the minerals with an enzyme that it's called EFMs, essential folate minerals. It's so concentrated, mm-hmm. a quart will treat up to 3 acres, and you just foliate you spray your crops when they start to germinate. You know, right. Your farm, I mean, it's designed for big farms or, you know, little gardens, whatever. But
right.
And it's pretty inexpensive to mineralize your soil and revitalize it. And
yeah.
If you guys go to wallachsway.com, go right to that site. Don't do a search because there's so many hits will come up about Wallach. But if you do wallachsway.com, there's videos, there's interviews, there's incredible stuff, and it shows you how to purchase these minerals. It turns out to be pretty inexpensive to treat your farm or whatever you got. I hear the music, so thanks, guys.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot.
What do you do when diet and exercise is not enough? We try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to try to get Mike from Kentucky on real quick. Mike, you got about 3 or 4 minutes. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you guys. The poor girl called into our local show a few weeks ago that had killed off all the earthworms in all her flower boxes by using Roundup.
Go.
She had to swap out all of the soil in her flower boxes and flower gardens, and was begging
Don't
for night crawlers. But she redid all the soil. What I've heard is good is biochar. Have you guys looked into that?
Right.
I've heard about
it. I've seen it made. You can make it. Yeah, you can make it yourself by digging a pit and burning stuff. But yeah, they're not good videos on producing that.
Well, I've heard, you know, if you burn wood, you know, the old habit of putting your wood ashes on your garden is probably an okay thing. But you can take an ammo box or some kind of metal box and put, you know, small pieces of wood in there, and as you burn your wood through the winter, you don't burn this. You just char it inside the metal box, and then I guess crumble it up, put it in your vegetable beds. And we should probably be lobbying.
Yeah,
we should probably be lobbying our governments to do this.
What Mike means is you put the wood in the box and then you throw the box in the fire. That's what he's talking about. You don't set the wood on fire. Right, right. And that makes fire. Yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say there are two other ways to do this. Haas Tools, H-O-S-S, Haas Tools, has just now come out with a concentrate as well, a mineral concentrate, for this exact purpose. And then, of course, the Mitt Lighter Magic is the same thing again. This is really catching fire. Everybody is recognizing that those minerals are gone. Please go ahead.
Well, on a massive scale, what needs to happen, though, I think, to try to stop this, and this sounds crazy, but to stop this polar vortex from wobbling like it's doing and shooting down all these cold air blasts out of season, it sounds a little nuts, but we probably need to go back to the climate that we had when the woolly mammoths and the bison were tearing out all the trees. If you look in, and they're doing this in Siberia, they're talking about it. Vice Media has a video of they're trying to do it with bison and furry horses, and they're begging to get the woolly mammoth back somehow through cloning or something. But on a massive scale, if we would cut down all those trees around the Arctic Circle in Canada and Siberia, I mean, a lot of years this forest is going to burn anyway and send particulates into the atmosphere. If we could cut that down and do biochar on a massive scale, we could replenish the topsoil in all the temperate zones where we need it, you know. And as we're seeing this year with the soggy breadbasket, we've got too much eggs in one basket, so to speak, with all this agriculture that's in the plain states. We're going to have to bring back agriculture in states like Kentucky and on a more massive scale, not just hemp. But
they will tell you when you're in certain circumstances, high intensive farming, where you constantly plow, just burns everything out of the soil. It literally sets everything in high gear, and you wind up with depleted soil after.
We need solutions. There's a girl at MIT who has an undergraduate degree in computers, I think, and then she got a graduate degree in chemistry. She has uninterruptible funding from a Taiwanese computer company. She has shown that sulfur is what the problem is.
Guys, ladies and gentlemen, Mike, this has been a great show. We'll be back on same time, same channel next week. Hope everybody has a fun and productive, safe week ahead. And may God rest the souls of President Jefferson Davis and General Robert E. Lee. Goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting.